You know, we prayed for the sick last night, right? We might just do something real quick right now, too, and then we'll get on with this thing that I need to do. And you guys can grab your seats and stuff. I mean, I won't be that quick. You know, we prayed for the sick last night, and I got late. I got long. I know it was late. But, you know, when people are getting healed, it's not late to me. It's just the way it is, man. Do you guys remember that lady in the middle that they said was almost paralyzed from some kind of drug OD and stuff? And some medicines were overdosed in her blood and her body and almost paralyzed her. And she hasn't had the use of her hands and she started to feel them coming back last night. Do you guys remember that? Right in the middle? Were anybody still here? It was pretty late. Was I the only one left? Do you all remember? So Bill got her number because I wanted to know how she was doing because I felt like she was being healed, and I wanted to hear the good report. And I asked them if they're coming back anymore, and they didn't think they could. Remember that, you guys? They called Bill today. It's Bill, right? They called Bill today. Remember, I said, well, how will you know if you're healed? And she said, well, if I can go cook my husband a good home-cooked meal, I'll know I'm healed. I said, well, why would that tell you you're healed? She said, because I haven't been able to hold a knife or work in the kitchen and chop or do anything. I have no strength or coordination. I couldn't do what it took. And he laughed and said, I've been eating a lot of frozen dinners. Well, they called Bill today, and the husband said, I just want to let you know, sir, I ate a really good home-cooked meal last night when we got home. He said, is that what he said? And he said, my wife stood out there and took a knife for the first time since that incident and chopped everything and did everything and made everything. Well, here was the good thing. When she went to give the name and number on the paper, I was over here doing something, and they were all shouting, and I said, what? And they said, she's writing for the first time since it happened. She took it, and he showed me the paper. It's not scribble. So God is amazing. So even though the situation was real, and even though it cost her, and even though there was time elapsed, and in a moment of just revelation and mercy and truth and the gospel in the room and God's love in us and God's love for her, in a moment, even though folks pray and believe in times, man, God is God. And in a moment, and this thing that was there for a while is there no more. That's just a big deal to me. So we want to do something real quick. When I say we, there's somebody in me. That's why I'm saying we. Because we want to do this. I'm a mess. Oh my goodness, this is fun. We want to pray for the sick, and I want you to join him with us. Because that we thing, he's in you too. Amen? So last night, if you were here, you know what we did. We prayed for people that would have known it if they were healed. Second, the first time we prayed for people that if they were healed, they wouldn't know it. They'd have to have time to tell or have to be able to check out. And I don't know who that all involved. There was a lot of people that we prayed for that wouldn't know right away. So I don't know how the time frame. Is there anybody that we prayed for that you had to go to bed or you would have known when you woke up? Or you would have known? Is there anybody out of them people that you would have known by now that can testify from last night when we prayed? Or wouldn't you really know? Is there? Stand up, sir, and lift up your voice, man. Your name's Jerry? Go ahead, man. Today, they couldn't find the evidence of the stroke. My son told me of that. You, isn't that awesome? Yeah. You were trying to make your way up here last night. I heard later. It's amazing I missed that. I didn't think deep on it. Usually I don't miss that stuff. But you were coming up for that blood pressure thing that I called out. That's been a problem. Is that what caused the stroke? You don't know, but it's just been health stuff. That's all gone. Stretch your hands to this man, Jerry. Stretch your hands, church. Father, we thank you that the day of weakness is over. The day of infirmity has ended. We thank you the glory of God has come and you have delivered your son. We declare freedom over his life and we thank you for the power of God that makes him whole. We thank you for the blood in the name of Jesus right now over his life. And body, we speak to you. You serve Jerry all the days of his life without fail and without complication. You remain whole, sir. You remain strong. In the authority of Jesus' name, you walk in wholeness and you walk in grace. I declare it over you, my friend. No more episodes of sickness and infirmity. No more episodes of weakness. And even as men have helped you walk, even now the Lord God will be your strength and be by your side. And he's the one that will be the strength in your step and the strength in your life. In the authority of Jesus' name, I declare your wholeness according to his great will and his unstoppable love. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's good. Yay. Okay. It's pretty amazing. I don't know if you guys are medical guys, but when you have a stroke a week ago and you go for a new CAT scan, I think there's usually evidence that you had it showing up somewhere. There's not like no evidence. Must be God. There was folks we prayed for, so well, I want to do this kind of quick, but not in any insincere way. It'll be just as powerful. There's just some things we need to do tonight based on what's been going on, but I feel drawn to the sick here right out front. There was folks healed last night. There was who else? Who got up today? Was there anybody else that could tell that something changed in her body that wouldn't have known last night, but yet today you were able to tell? Or did you need more? I say, I don't know the situations that you were one of them. What's going on? Okay. You don't have any neuropathy. You don't have nothing wrong in your legs. That's amazing. God, that's good. Anybody else that we prayed for last night that you weren't sure, you wouldn't have been able to tell when we prayed? There was a bunch of you that standing up first and we prayed and then you all sat down. We prayed for the people that could tell. I don't know if you're even here. There might be people that aren't here that we prayed for last night, but there was a bunch I know in the men. Is there anybody else that would have known something was different when you went to bed, when you got up, or through the day? Anybody that just wants to testify, that would be good. And if not, we're going to pray for folks here in a second. Anybody else, sir? Dennis, go ahead. You guys hearing this? Come on, man. This is a big deal. This gives us incentive and encouragement to go after what's possible. To not build on what hasn't happened in our lives, but let's build on what God's doing and what he said he will do. Amen? Let's stop writing a theology every time something doesn't seem to happen when the book's already written. Let's stick with what's already written, for it is written. Amen? We're not here to write a book. We're here to live by the one that's written. All right? Anybody else have a testimony to share from last night and you know you were healed after you left or you knew it today? Anybody else? It's just fun to hear. All right. Okay. So then I guess we're going to get some more testimonies for tomorrow. We're going to pray for some folks. All right. Let's do it this way. I'm going to do it as quick as I can, but effectively as we know how. If you're in this room tonight and you were... Now, if you stood last night for this and you weren't able to tell yet because you have to go get a test or... You know, you were getting migraines and you didn't, you know, you need a couple of days to go by before you want to say hey, or and it would just be a real faith confession, but you want to, you know, sometimes there's folks that get a migraine every 4 days or something, and you prayed for it, 4 days goes by and you don't have one, and then 8 days goes by and you don't have one. That's a big deal. Some of you are in those situations when you stood up last night. So what I want to do first is, if you're in this room, if you stood up last night for this, you don't have to stand up again. You can just say, thank you, God, for what you're doing in me. You're making all things new. I appreciate your love and grace. But if you weren't prayed for last night or weren't here for this, and you have a situation of sickness that if you were prayed for, you wouldn't be able to test it or check it. There'd be no way to tell in the moment other than just the confession of faith. But you wouldn't be able to lift the shoulder or bend or check hearing or eyesight. It would just be something that time would need to reveal you were healed. I need you to stand up quickly. It'd probably be more so in the middle section and visitors because we covered everybody in the life changers last day. Thanks, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? You need healing, but you wouldn't be able to check if you were healed. There'd be no way to tell in the moment. In the moment. Okay? And some of you that are standing, you might have a condition you could tell, but there's a condition you can't, so you're standing for that, and in a minute you can stand back up, and we won't mind. Amen? We won't get tired of loving on you. Anybody else in this house needs to stand, do it real quick, because we're going to pray for these folks. Thank you, ma'am. If you're sitting real near them, just somebody touch them lightly on the arm. Don't distract them. Don't get all over them. Just touch them lightly somewhere, non-offendable. Ask them if you can hold their hand, something sweet. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Sandra. Just stand with them. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace towards people's lives. We thank you for your healing power and the finished work of Jesus Christ. People be healed in Jesus' name. Every sickness and every infirmity, you leave this room in the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for bringing wholeness into every person's body standing. I thank you the symptoms that they were relating to, the reason that they stood, will be found no more in their lives. I thank you today is the last day of that situation, that it would never come again. Infirmity, sickness, and weakness, you leave them and you never, ever come back. In the authority of Jesus' name, be healed and be made whole. Father, I thank you never again another evidence and never again another trace. And we thank you that you seal it in your great love. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, before you sit down, just in your heart, thank God he loves you. That usually people stand, and just in your heart, thank God he loves you. And just thank God he's doing an amazing thing in your body, and just rejoice in that right now. And just thank him that he's good. That's your only response ever, church, as a Christian, no matter what you're going through. He is good, or he'd have never sent his son. Amen? Bless you. You can sit down. Thank you. Okay, that's the simple prayer of faith, guys. So if you're praying for somebody and they can't check their body, always pray with all your heart the simple prayer of faith and believe that God did a work. And then you encourage them to stay thankful in that and commune with God in that and let time tell or a test tell or whatever's necessary to let that unfold, that they go, wow, God, you really changed that thing in my life. Amen? Real quick, we're going to do this. If you need healing, if you were prayed for last night and you were healed, that's a no-brainer. We just give God the glory. If you felt somewhat healed, not all the way, or you didn't feel any change in your body, or you weren't here last night, and you have sickness and you need healing, I need you to stand to your feet real quick. If you have any symptoms of sickness in your body right now, any evidence of sickness that you could check, or pain, or degeneration, or arthritis, stand to your feet real quick. We're going to do this quickly. In Jesus' name, God, thank you. Okay, you guys know the protocol. I'm going to do it like we did it last night. I was tempted to pray corporately, but I don't want to do that. I won't get you guys involved. Who was encouraged praying for the sick last night and realizing it's actually easy to believe and pray? Who was encouraged that you could just do a quick command prayer and believe and release your faith and something good could happen? Amen? So lift your hands if you're standing for prayer. Real quick, lift your hands. The people that are standing, don't put your hands down until somebody gets to you. Church, I need you to help me. You know the protocol. Go grab somebody and claim them. Don't pray yet. Just go grab them and claim them. Just say, hey, you're mine tonight. I'm believing for you. If they don't know you, tell them your name. Go find somebody till everybody's covered. Come on, church, help me. There's a lot of you sitting. You can help me. Run and get them. Come on. If they found you, if they got you, put your hand down so we know we got everybody. I need you to find somebody. Get somebody. Oh, you got him? Okay, good. Is everybody covered that stood? Is everybody covered? Is there anyone not covered? Wave your hand. We got y'all. Okay, good. Take 5 seconds, 5 seconds, and ask them what they need prayer for and what they need healing for. Just give them the 5-second version, guys. Just tell them, just simple and plain, what you need. Jesus, you're amazing, holy and righteous. You got it? We should all know. You all good? All right, now listen. I'm going to give you about 15 or 20 seconds to pray. There's a reason. You won't get in the way and you won't get self-conscious. One of the biggest things I've learned as a pastor over the years is people get self-conscious when they pray for the sick and they think they're not praying good enough or praying right or praying hard enough. And when they pray for the sick, they get very self-conscious. Let me just encourage you in this. Your prayer never has or never will heal anybody. It's his finished work and his love for the person that heals. It's what Christ accomplished that heals. Your prayer doesn't heal. Your prayer releases that finished work. Faith speaks to the mountain and the mountain moves because Jesus is Lord. Okay? So watch this. How complicated is it from your heart with a revelation of God's love and will to heal to pray, be healed in Jesus' name? You don't get too self-conscious in that realm. Amen? or pain you leave, body be restored. We can do this, guys. Jesus gave us authority to believe this stuff. This isn't presumptuous. He said, if you believe, you'll say to the mountain, move. Some symbols like arthritis, come out of my sister now and never return. Pain, you leave, body be free. And then say, check it, girl. Woohoo! Okay? That's the plan. Are you all ready? I'm giving you 15 seconds to pray for the sick, and then I'm going to stop you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask everybody to check their bodies. I don't want any fabrication. I don't want any exaggeration. We don't want you trying to make people feel better or not feel bad. We want you well. So don't say it changed if it didn't. We want to know the truth about your situation in the moment, okay? I'm not talking faith confession stuff. I'm talking, did it change now? We're going to check you all, and we want testimonies. We're going to work from there, and we'll see how we walk this out. But are you all ready? Do you guys know you're the body of Christ and the kingdom of God is within you? Do you know that the Bible says, whatever you ask in His name, believing, it shall be done? Do you know that the Bible says that the things He did, you'll do if you believe? And the Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover? Do you know I just quoted 3 and I could quote about 13 more? I know you believe me. Listen, look at the person you're ready to pray for real quick and know that Jesus paid a price for them. He died for them and He rose from the dead. And He loves them. And tonight they're going to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood and receive life. Are you ready, church? In the love of God, pray for that person. You got 15, 20 seconds. Give them the kingdom. Go for it. Thank you, Jesus, for your people. Thank you for your people. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for working the miraculous, supernatural, bringing healing to the people. Thank you, God, for what you do. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, God. Thanks, Papa. Thank you for showing your willingness to heal your people. Thank you, God, for encouraging your church. God, thank you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now, if you're being prayed for, begin to thank God for loving you, please. Just, God, you love me. Father, you love me. Just start telling Him that in your heart. It's not that you even have to clap. If you want to, clap. I'm not holding you back. But I'm just telling you. You just say, God, thank you. You love me. You're doing a good thing. Thank you for bringing wholeness to my life. In Jesus' name. Now, I need you to do this. With sincerity, begin to check that area of your body. Check that symptom. Check yourself out and check what's going on. And I want those people that are feeling their body healed and feeling that thing that left, I want you to begin to wave your hands so we can testify, and we're going to walk through this and we're going to cover some things. We got a little more time tonight and we can do this, and I want to learn through this. Who's feeling changed right now in their body? Stay standing if you were prayed for. If you can, I want you to tell me who's feeling changed right now in your body. Who's feeling healed? What happened?
I just was having aching pain all over.
Do you know what it was from, or... just wasn't feeling right.
You
was just, you just feeling run down today. You was hurt.
I hurt my foot last week. You know.
What's going on? Do you have pain? You have some now. So it got a lot better. Is that what you're testifying? So it got a lot better. How much better? 70%, 60, 80, 80. That's good. Did you pray for him? Who prayed? Come on back over here, kiddo. I'm going to talk to some others. You just pray for him one more time. The same way you prayed the first time. Don't shift your prayer. Thank God for what he did. Thank God for the 80. And thank him he's a finished work. And say, God, I thank you for more. Body be healed in every pain. You come out. In Jesus' name. Give it to him, girl. Who else? What happened? Tremendous pain. You've had it for a long time? Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. About 80% going, and it's tremendous pain always. Uh-huh. A lot of sharp pain even when he stood up right at the moment when they prayed. Tremendous pain, he's calling it. He would know. It's his body. He feels it about 80% going. Pray one more time for him, Bill. What happened to you? You still got pain? What's going on?
Went out of my foot.
It came out of your foot when she prayed?
Yeah.
I knew it was in her, man. Jesus. No, that's awesome. You don't feel it in there? Who else? You back there, sir. You had your hand up.
Yes, sir. I suffer with sciatic pain every day, all day.
Every day, all day. Do you hear this stuff, guys?
While you was explaining, it started tingling. The pain started tingling. It's still tingling right now. I don't feel pain. I feel like...
You just have a tingle through your body?
That's it, sir.
That the sciatic thing ain't there?
No, I don't feel it. And I suffer with that every day.
Every day.
Every day.
All day.
All day.
And it ain't there.
It's not there.
Touch him, Pastor Mark, please. We just thank you, Father, for complete wholeness, that this thing will never, ever come back. Just say that over him, Pastor. You'll never come back. Just like Jesus told infirmity, you never touch him again. In Jesus' name, wholeness over you, sir.
Thank you.
And you'll be able to run this race, oversee these guys, open facilities, oversee whatever you're called to do. You'll be able. Your body won't fail you. Your body won't limit you. You will be able to do what you're called to do without restraint. We declare it over you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else changed? What's going on? Okay, pass that mic down to him. Pain for a year?
About a year, and it's gotten progressively worse. And I prayed on it, and I thought about it, and I sat there, and I thought, you know, there's no... I got up, and I put my finger
So honestly, he's being honest. You were thinking, man, I ain't getting... I've been through this so many times.
It started, like he said, it started tingling when you were explaining it. Uh-huh. It literally... doesn't hurt at all. I mean, look, nothing.
Did you hear how honest he was? He was praying on it for so long, for a year, and had it prayed for that he wasn't even going to get up and say, "Here, I ain't going through this."
I was afraid that my faith wasn't strong enough. I didn't know, what I was doing wrong. I was too embarrassed. But I got to say it. I got to admit it, man. It's gone. No, really.
Hey, we believe you.
Praise the Lord.
Now watch this. Watch this. Here's the mistake people make. They say, oh, well, Dan, you're just gifted. You carry a healing anointing. We're all under the umbrella of your anointing. People will teach that stuff, right? Here's what I'm doing. I'm making it super simple. Making it super simple and taking the pressure off of us and putting it all on Jesus' love. And all of a sudden, the young man's saying, man, I almost gave up a year. But I thought, man, I ain't standing up. And then I thought, you know what? I'll stand up. And before we got to pray, I'm just explaining it. What's that tell you? Holy Spirit's excited. He's going, yeah, Dan, it's that simple. It's that good. And he sees faith over here just to stand. Wasn't even going to stand. He says, Jesus, and before we even prayed, things already leaving. Come on. Let's learn through this. Amen. That's a great testimony. Who else was over here raising their hand? You?
I had pain in my lower back and got prayed for last night and it felt like it popped, but it was higher up and I got prayed for tonight and feels like constant pressure on it, and it's not hurting as bad as it was.
So you feel relief in your back?
Yes, sir.
You're the fellow that asked me how I knew about your mind.
Yes, sir.
I was so blessed by that, man. You came up last night for prayer. And while I was there, I said, you know, not only for the reason you came up, but I see your mind, and I started to pray over him, and it really touched him because he said, that thing's been going on exactly like I spoke it for 2 weeks or something like that. It's been hard. And God knew it and called it out and said, hey, and he said, how did you know that? I said, man, Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you. And Jesus is trying to tell you, look, man, I know what's going on, and I got you. I got it, man. So be encouraged and stuff. And it was awesome. So we're proud of you, son. You stay rooted and grounded, okay? You keep growing in Jesus, and you keep letting him love and touch your body. You touch the back middle of his back quick. Go ahead, yeah. And say this, say back. Be completely healed. No more pressure and no more pain. In Jesus' name. Say, thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Okay, you make sure you tell these guys in a day or two what's going on, all right? Anybody else we need to talk to? What happened, man? So you got a list, Hobart.
Yeah, I got a list.
So you thought it would make God too busy or something?
Yeah, I thought, man, you know, maybe one thing at a time.
Maybe one thing at a time. Maybe one at a time.
But they got hands all over me now. I was covered.
They got them all, did they?
Yeah, but while you was explaining, my body just got hot all over and just felt heat going all the places where I was actually all over. I heard all
over. Slow down. I'll let you finish. Did you hear what he just said? Now, this is the third time we just heard this. While you were explaining, heat, tingling, come on me, God already started doing it. Why? He's responding to truth. Not the anointing, healing anointing on my life. Because if that's true, then the healing wouldn't follow the believer. These signs follow those that believe. It would say these signs follow those that are gifted. It said these signs follow those that, and we're all called to believe. So the simpler I teach it, the more truth comes, the easier it is to believe, and we all flow in what we're experiencing. Do you get it? He's the third one that said, while you were explaining, God came on me. Why? Because of truth. Are you guys getting this? Oh, it's exciting to me. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that he came all over me, and as I really, he ain't done with me. He's still working on me. I still feel heat and stuff going through my body that wasn't there. I'm actually sweating. You know?
Yeah, he loves
as
it.
I'm speaking now, it's coming.
Loving on you, ain't it?
Hallelujah.
Do you feel change in your body, Hobart?
Oh, yeah, my knees, see, they're shot. I don't have no cartilage or nothing. My knees are reconstructed.
Okay.
And, they're always stiff. But I mean, they're just like limbers can be right now. It's like you just put some oil in them or something.
Yeah. You know? Well, he probably put cartilage in. I've seen people bone on bone. Listen, I've flown on airplanes beside several people, not one. Several that were bone on bone in the airplane and walked off the plane and down the steps and bawled off the airplane. I flew into Lexington, Kentucky, and this lady came on the plane like this. She's afraid of surgery. She don't want to go under the knife. She don't want anesthesia. She's afraid. She's read on anesthesia. She don't want it. So she's going to just live and suffer. So she's bone on bone. She's sitting beside me and we're talking. I didn't see her walk in. But she told me she shuffled her feet. She said, I walk like a penguin. And she was sitting beside me. She was already sitting when I got in there. I sat down. We got talking about Jesus. I told her about a lady I just flew with that was bone on bone in her knees and all this. And she's just staring at me. And I said, oh, my goodness, you're the woman I'm talking about. That's your situation, too. And she said, it is. I said, give me your hand, girl. She's bawling, saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I said, honey, you didn't even walk yet. Can I walk? She said, I don't have to. She said, all I have to do is roll my ankle and pain shoots up and down my leg because of bone on bone. She said, I'm turning my ankle and pressing and I can't find one bite in my knee or bones. So when we're walking out of the plane, she's tapping me like a little kid from behind. She said, my knees are amazing. I'm totally healed. And I'm like, that's awesome. I believe you, honey. I said, do you realize we're on this little puddle jumper into Lexington and they just rolled the door down into stairs and we're going to go down about 6 or 8 stairs, like almost straight down. I said, when's the last time you've done that? She said, oh, that would be real ugly. They would have got an attendant above and below, and I'd have went down sideways one at a time, and it would have took me a long time to get to the top to the bottom. I said, here's what we're going to do. You don't go down them steps till I get to the bottom. I'm going to run down. I want to watch you come down. I want you to walk down like you've never, ever been bone on bone. She said, okay. Here's the cool thing. We had a congregation because everybody's waiting for their gate check bags. So we got a congregation down there. We've got a church service going. They're all waiting on the tarmac, Pastor, for their check bags. We're coming off the plane. We're sitting towards the back, and we got an audience. And I'm all excited, and I said, wait right here. And I run down. Now, she's going to get picked up at the airport by her children. How are they not going to get affected by this when mom comes strolling out to her kids? And they say, Mom, what's going on? I sat beside this guy. He wouldn't quit smiling. When he prayed for me, my knees were healed. What? And all he talked about was Jesus. How are they going to get around that when it's their mama? So I'm standing there and I look and she's coming down the steps and she goes boom, boom. And on the third step, she runs across the tarmac, engulfs me with a hug. And everybody's like, what is going on? And she's bawling on me, and I'm peeking up over her shoulder going, Jesus just gave her brand new knees. We were sitting on the plane. She's been bone on bone for 20 years. She hasn't done it. And Jesus, while we were flying, people put cartilage in her knee. And they're like, and I'm like, if anybody needs prayer, if anybody wants healing, I'll be glad to pray. I got my bag. I went 20 yards, and somebody pulled on my arm, trembling. Could you pray for me? I got to the top of the jetway, tugged my arm. Could you pray for me? I'm telling you, that's Christianity. Woo! You can sit by a lunch table with no experience and argue doctrine the rest of your life. Or you can step out and believe God and get a Christian testimony and start running the race worthy of a prize. Woo!
Pastor, I think I don't think we're done here. Can we believe for a creative miracle right now?
Come on, man.
Come on.
That these knees, I actually believe God's doing something amazing.
I mean, that testimony
knees.
You just told was not for no reason.
No. It's what I was. The reason I told that is because bone on bone is not intimidating to God. He breathed into dirt and a man stood up. We covered that last night. So, Father, we thank you for brand new knees. Pray it over him, guys. Brand new knees. While they're praying, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was in Iowa, Teen Challenge, Spiritual Emphasis. Pastor Ed just retired because his knees are so degenerated he can't get around the facility anymore because they have Teen Challenge in an old hotel and there's a lot of stairs. So he retires ahead of what he wants to retire because he can't walk through the facility anymore. So he steps down and retires, but he's not done pastoring and he still wants to be there. So we were there for a service, and Pastor Ed came to the open service, and the Teen Challenge guys love Pastor Ed. This has been 4 or 5 years ago. So Pastor Ed's sitting there, and they said, you got to pray for Pastor Ed. He had to retire because of his knees. Da, da, da. I said, no, you guys pray for Pastor Ed. You love him. So they prayed for Pastor Ed. He gets up, and he walks to the wall, turns around, and he goes, whoa. He's been on staff since that day, and not one thing wrong with his knees since that day. You see what's wrong with me and why I'm excited all the time? I told you I didn't see enough yet, but I've seen too much to change my mind. Hobart, check your knees for us. Tell us what's going on. They're your knees. Don't make anything up. Tell us what they feel like. Tell us if they feel different, if they feel stronger, more mobile, if there's still weakness, if there's pain. Just talk to us. When you're bone on bone, it's hard to put pressure when it's bone on bone. Put some body weight. Put some pressure on them a little. And they were shot? If you were doing that before, what would have been that? Would you have felt that biting a little? Would that have bothered? Would that have hurt? Would it have felt weak? Huh? You can't find any popping or grinding? Do you know why they pop and grind? Because the cartilage is shot and the bones are bone. And it's when they don't pop, you ain't got no popping. You can't find any grinding. Now, before we prayed for you, you couldn't not grind, right? It would always grind. Always. And it hasn't grinded since we've been talking. Coincidence? I don't know. Come on, skeptics. Any skeptics here want to help me? Or are we all just believers and we go, amen? Amen. Yeah. That's awesome. Who else? Is it Alex? Alex, what's going on? You have your hand raised or are you worshiping Jesus? He might have something to say. Thank you, God.
Well, I've had a problem with neuropathy. And my backbone has absolutely no cartilage in it. It's just straight up and down. No.
It's bone, vertebrae, bone on bone, no cushioning.
That's right.
I'm following.
And that's my problem.
Okay. Do you feel any change in your body since we prayed?
Pardon?
Do you feel any change in your body since we prayed, or does your body feel the same?
Yes, it feels better.
What's that mean to you? When you say it feels better, just help us understand, because it's your body. You live with it every day. We just try to understand. How does it feel better? What's that mean? You feel a little stronger?
It does feel stronger, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the neuropathy? Do you still feel the neuropathy in your feet?
Yes.
Your feet are still numb? Or do they tingle? What's it feel like? Because everybody's neuropathy could be a little different on different levels.
Yeah, they tingle. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they tingling right now? Just be honest. Tell us. Are they tingling right now?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Donnie, take his hand. Touch him in the middle of the back for me. We're going to pray for him. Just pray for his body to be restored, man. Church, believe with us. Come on. Believe with us. Body, you be quickened. Skeletal system, you be recreated and totally revived. You straighten and you carry this man. Legs, you be strong. Be strong. In the authority of Jesus' name, strength come into this man. God, thank you for your unstoppable love and power. Thank you for making Alex whole. Even strength and sight to the eye in Jesus' name. Blindness, you leave him. In the authority of King Jesus. Backbone, you be restored. Neuropathy, leave now. Leave now. No more numbness, no more pain ever again. Father, I thank you for this thing just coming aggressively, progressively, and noticeably to everyone. Let Alex's body be made new in your great love. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good deal. Anybody else have a testimony you want to share something? Have you been standing all that time or to share something? Or who? Yeah? We got somebody else? Honey?
And it just, it
your voice is
so
meant
bad.
To be heard.
And so as they prayed over me, the burning just immediately stopped. And as I'm talking to you now, the raspiness is getting more clear.
Yeah, I don't really hear
though
the
I don't
raspiness.
Know. I do know. God will heal it.
Has it ever been help. Has it ever been since that point in time as a little girl? Has it ever been not raspy?
Mm-mm.
Has
no,
it ever
I've
not
always
burned?
Dealt with it.
Has it ever not burned? So you're telling us right now, which I'm not challenging you, it doesn't burn at all.
It doesn't burn.
Has it ever not burned at all for mm-hmm. even a moment since that
Never.
Day?
Never.
That's
I'm
pretty
always
amazing.
Constantly clearing my throat, going like that to get it to just ease that pain of the burn. But it's gone. I don't have it at this very moment.
And it's never been that since
Never.
A little girl?
Never. I've always dealt with it burning. I've always dealt with the raspy, the...
Are you guys hearing this stuff?
Hear,
I mean, are you guys
loud.
Like...
It, If I yell...
You see why I'm like this?
Yeah.
I get to watch voice. This stuff all the time.
So, I've... The last time when I got into a car wreck and back in May, they told me I had a knot there. So last night when you were saying, if you don't know if it's going to be healed, I don't know. Doctor-wise. But I know that God's going to heal it. I'm going to get the healing over my voice that I've dealt with for 32 years.
Okay. Now, for 32 years, it's been that way. What's your voice sound to you like when you're talking right now, and how's it feel? Do you feel freer, like you're not laboring? Because I don't... Like,
I don't.
Do you girls know what she sounds like? Does she sound clearer? Does she
sounds better. She sounds
does
clearer.
She sounds clearer?
Yeah.
They would know. They talk, you talk around them. You're not totally quiet, are you?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I'm not.
Thanks for being
no.
honest. That would be like me saying I'm quiet, huh? So you can hear a difference in her voice? All of you are
yeah.
bearing witness to that? Come on, guys. This is a big deal.
Before he gave me the microphone, I didn't feel like I had to push for my voice,
okay.
my voice to
that's
come out.
That's what I'm getting at.
It was
you
coming,
know your experience.
Because I can tell when I push it, I can feel the vibrations, and then the tingling and the fire starts to burn more on my left side. And it's not there.
Don't be embarrassed. You're going to love it. Put your hand on your throat and say, Father.
Father.
Thank you that you love me.
Thank you that you love me.
And you make all things new.
And you make all things new.
You made my voice to speak.
You made my voice to speak.
And to sing.
And to sing.
And to shout loud.
And to shout loud.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For making me new.
For making me new.
Because you love me.
Because you love me.
Amen.
Amen.
I noticed her voice getting better as she was talking, really.
So you can
yeah.
tell.
The reason why I'm passing this mic around, guys, is because it's really important that everyone else hears these testimonies, because these will feed each other. It was me hearing other people's testimonies that caused me to grab hold of Jesus and receive my own freedom and healing. That's why I believe this is really important.
Now, come on, guys. Either these people need real serious ministry and they're making this stuff up to make us feel good or draw attention to themselves, or God's doing something in people's bodies.
Yeah.
You can choose to believe what you want, but time will tell. God is amazing, and he's healing folks. I don't know why I keep talking like that, because I feel like there's somebody in here and you're struggling with some things, and I'm telling you, stop struggling. Jesus is Lord, man. You know, the church, it puzzles me. People in the church say, well, I need proof. Well, do you have an x-ray? Well, how do I know that was broken? I'm thinking, man, we're the church and we're looking for verification of healing. We should already know he heals. You understand? Here's what I've said a long time ago. Unbelief can never be satisfied with documentation. But faith doesn't need any. Unbelief is never satisfied with documentation. Unbelief will just say, well, how do I know that's their x-ray? Faith doesn't even need any. Watch this. If somebody's lying that they were healed of cancer, God's still healed. They just need to deal with their own heart and why they'd be lying. People lying about a healing shouldn't change the fact that you believe God is a healer. We've let a lot of things influence us outside of Jesus. And it's a big deal to let Him move like this and testify. Go ahead.
Yes, I was prayed for last night. My name is Rick, by the way, people who don't know me. I have neuropathy, also rheumatoid arthritis, and back in July I had surgery on my neck. They took a disc out from an old injury I suffered back in 1995. And I made the mistake last year to go on a roller coaster ride to show off to my great niece and nephew, and it re-injured the injury. So the doctor told me it'd be a year for recovery, and it's been a little over 6 months now. And from the prayer last night, and I also was prayed for this afternoon, and then again tonight, and when everybody's telling their testimonies, the pins and needles feeling, that's gone. And right now, it's the numbness, but it's a different kind of numbness. It's not the numbness that I was experiencing before.
It's different. So you feel like it's alleviated?
Numbness, and, yeah, I just don't feel things that I'm holding, like a pen or a utensil or something like that, but I can tell there's improvement.
Where is the numbness?
In my hands.
Have his hands, Pastor. Let's pray, church. Hands, you come alive. In Jesus' name, feeling you come right now. That's good. Thank you, Father. Flow right into his fingers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bring life in Jesus' name. Fingers come alive. All numbness and every trace of injury, you leave his body. Father, we're even asking you to restore his neck. Whether you put a disc there or not, let his neck function like there's no disc missing. Be a sign and wonder, God. Touch him and change him. Rick, you be healed and you be whole. In Jesus' name. Start to move your hands and flex your hands and make fists and check your hands. Strength come into him in Jesus' name. Rheumatoid arthritis, you leave his body. Come out of his joints. Come out of his joints in Jesus' name. What's going on with numbness? Don't make anything up. If it feels the same, tell me. Okay. You know something's happening. You can tell it. Okay. That's so good. That's good. When you say I'm standing on it, let me encourage you in what he's saying and what we do when we stand on it. You talk to Jesus. You talk to the Father. You commune with him. Father, thank you for what you're doing in me. Thanks for your will to restore me and make me whole. God, you so love me. You've done it all through your son. Thank you for giving it to me as a son. Thank you, God. And as you're doing that, you just, God, you're amazing. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's relationship. Amen? Amen. When we prayed for you, you didn't experience any change. Nothing changed in your body. Stand to your feet, please. Be humble and stand to your feet. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Stand to your feet. Here's the good news. Faith isn't a point in time. Faith isn't a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's not God healed or God didn't heal. The tendency is, when you're hearing these testimonies and nothing changed in your body, if you don't understand what I'm about to preach, the tendency is you take it personal that nothing changed. You think there's either something wrong with you, something blocking. The church says, well, there must be something blocking their healing. And that's what we say, and we turn faith into a moment. You see what I'm saying? You're in relationship with God. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray as a church one more time for you guys, if you'll tolerate us and be patient with us. That, remember he said about the arthritis, the rheumatoid? I was in a service with an 82-year-old lady. It's going to make me cry. Her fingers. Remember your grandmother? Her fingers looked like her grandmother. Her grandmother passed a while back. A good while back. A long time back. But she couldn't use her hands anymore. All her fingers turned and went in the same direction, and they were just all manipulated from rheumatoid, and she couldn't use them. That's how this lady's fingers were in a meeting. And me and my buddy Todd was fresh saved. He couldn't have been saved a year, but he was on fire. And we're standing praying for this lady's fingers together. He's like a little pit bull. He's like, we weren't asking God to heal. If you got a hard rock and you want to break it and you got a hammer, what would you do if it ain't breaking? You keep swinging hard and hitting it. Swinging hard and hitting it. Swinging hard and hitting it. You don't grow weary in well doing. You don't say, oh boy, that rock ain't going to break. If that rock ain't broke by now, it ain't going to break. You know how folks say, well, if they ain't healed by now, they ain't going to get healed because we done prayed. Well, his own disciples prayed in Matthew 17 for an epileptic boy and he wasn't healed. It's amazing pastors don't teach on that. They prayed for an epileptic boy. He wasn't healed, but it was the will of God to heal him because Jesus only ever did the will of the Father, and Jesus healed him immediately. And then he rebuked his disciples for not healing him and said, you're a perverse and faithless generation. How long shall I be with you and bear with you? Yeah, that's what he said, guys. Read your Bible, Matthew 17. Faithless and perverse generation means twisted-minded, corrupted-thinking people. What he's saying is you're failing to see who you are now that I've come. And you're getting your eyes on the problem instead of the answer. And he was encouraging them that they could do it. Would he correct them if they couldn't do it? Would he have healed the boy if it wasn't the will of God? So was it the will of God to heal the boy? But was he healed when his disciples prayed? Oops. Man, we got a lot to say about that in the church. We actually write books on that stuff and make mistakes. And all of a sudden you got 30 reasons why men aren't healed. And if you embrace one of them, you put a ceiling over the release of the kingdom of God in your life. Jesus didn't have the manual in his back pocket, 30 reasons why men aren't healed. You know why? It wasn't his experience. The only reason we wrote the book is because we've experienced it. Now we're trying to make ourselves feel better about what we're struggling over, but it's at the cost of truth, and truth's what makes us free. Oops. Come on, Jesus healed the boy. They said, why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say, because you didn't have no faith. Unbelief, because of your unbelief. Here's how it translates, because of what you fail to see. It'd be like Justin praying for a loved one, and the loved one dies, and he's sitting on his bed weeping, man. Right? And you're just weeping. And you're like, God, I need more of you. God, why'd he die? God, I'm praying and praying. And would you father me? Would you teach me? And he'd come to you and appear in your bedroom. Matthew 17, you verse 20. He'd say, listen to me. I tell you, it's just because of what you're failing to see, son. But I'll tell you assuredly and truly, son, if you see what I see, you will do what I do. And son, nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind of not seeing clear, this kind of confusion, this kind of unbelief won't ever come out of your life unless you continue in a place of prayer and fasting and seeking the Father, so who the Father is overtakes who you are. Now go tear it up, son. That's Matthew 17, verse 20. Yeah? Why couldn't we heal the boy? Because of what you're failing to see. Guess what we do? Pray our best prayer. We don't see it change. Now we struggle. Oops. Well, pull out another flag, another shofar, quote an Old Testament prophecy, try harder. Come on, I've been around long enough to know what we do. These people standing, I want you to know, it ain't about what you're doing wrong. You got a situation going on, we're going to stand and believe with you. If you start believing it's something you're doing wrong, you'll infringe on your own identity and your ability to receive from God and your relationship. You get trapped in works. If it's something you need to adjust, Holy Spirit, in the love He has for you, would show you that and you could just receive it and respond. It's not the case normally. Usually it's just stand, receive, and believe, and continue in faith. Amen? So we're going to pray for you right now if you'll let us. I want some folks to get to each one of these people. Please find out what they're standing for right now. We're going to pray. And I'm going to teach you through this. We're going to walk through this. You watch and see, some things are going to begin to change in this room. And we're not afraid if they don't. We're not afraid to believe God. We're not afraid to pray, church. Ask them what they need. Ask them why they're standing. Remember, it's not your prayer that heals them. It's God's love and God's will through the finished work of the cross. Would you pray for them right now? Take 20 seconds and pray for them, please. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ears you hear. Ears you hear. In Jesus' name you hear. Ears open. In Jesus' name. Pray for him, guys. Receive. Just say, thank God he loves you right now. Don't strive. Don't struggle. You can't earn a healing. You can't strive hard enough to be healed. You believe he loves you. You believe he paid the price through Jesus Christ. God, you make all things new. Thank you. In Jesus' name be healed, church. Every person change. Everybody come into alignment and agreement in the authority of Jesus' name. Thank God, people, and begin to check your bodies, please. Just check your bodies. Don't strive in this and don't feel bad. I want to talk to you and I want to walk through some things here quick. Check your bodies. Anything changing in any person that's been standing, let us see. Wave your hand quick so we know who it is. Any increase, any change. There was none the first time. Did something change? What happened? Okay. Did it go complete? And it didn't change at all. And now it's gone. The first time, it didn't change at all. The second time, it's completely gone. There's a lesson in this, guys. You believe, continue to believe. The fight we fight isn't against the devil. We fight the good fight of faith. Amen? So it's completely changed. Getting you emotional, isn't it? Making you feel like you want to cry. That's good. I like when people cry when they're healed. Anybody else feel changed that we just prayed for? Any change at all? I'm not even saying totally changed. Just some increase. Anybody. Just talk to me. Was it hurting when we were talking and when they prayed? You had it? You know, I'll be honest. Can I share? It might be a weakness in me. I get so frustrated when I hear somebody has a bad headache while I'm ministering and preaching. I feel like that thing should be going. You know what I mean? It just bugs because I know it's miserable. Whoever had a terrible headache, you can't concentrate. It's frustrating. He said he just had this migraine thing right up until the point of right now when they just pray. And it's completely gone. Have you had migraines? Oh, give me your hand. Look at me in my eyes. They're not coming back. Do you hear me? Man, I'm not saying that because it sounds hypey in the atmosphere. I'm too much of a man of God to play that. That's why you feel that in your heart right now. It ain't coming back. You hear me? In Jesus' name, migraine, don't you ever touch him again. In the authority of Jesus' name, infirmity, you loosen and let him go. And you rise up and you be a son. You be the son you've been called to be. I see God put security in your life, a healthy esteem. He's teaching you to stand rock solid and love who you're becoming. You're not going to hate your life anymore, and you're not going to feel like you have to compete to measure up and fit in. And that insecurity that made you wonder what people thought of you and stuff sometimes, that thing is, God's blowing that out of the water, man. You're going to stand on your feet in God. Do you hear me? And the migraines are over. They're over. And ain't nothing nobody can do about it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, you felt that in your heart, man. I saw it go in you. She loves you. Ah! I'm just feeling this thing, man. Who else? Who else? What happened?
I've had a problem with my back and running down my hip and into my knee. And Miss Ruth prayed for me twice. And then Alex and Ruth and Ruby and Ann prayed for me just now.
They ganged up on it.
And
here we go.
The pain is a lot better.
Feel something different.
I feel a lot different. My back is still sore and my leg is sore.
Okay.
And I still feel some of the fluid in the back of my leg or my knee. I still feel that. But it's not as painful as it was when I came
in. Awesome. That's a great testimony. And the first time we prayed it, nothing changed.
No.
It was just the same. So we went, now in a different setting than this, I know we got, you know, time frames and things, and there's something we need to teach. In a different setting than this, in just a social setting or the public, as long as somebody's okay with it, as long as I'm getting increase, I won't stop praying, if they'll let me. Because if it goes from 80, if it goes from 50% better to 80% better, why stop? Amen. Probably ought to pray one more time and just see what happens.
Yeah.
The train's rolling. You know, and then you pray and they say 90% better. Whoa, can we just pray one more time? And they laugh and go, I guess so. Boom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anytime I get increase, but even if I don't see increase, we'll pray. That lady with those bent fingers that I told you about with the rheumatoid, Todd and I prayed probably, you ain't going to believe this maybe. We just couldn't quit. And she laughed and thought we were sweet young men. She said, you really care about me. You guys are really believing. She said, I hope I ain't doing nothing wrong. Because her fingers stayed the same. We prayed 15 times. And we just kept praying. We said, are you okay if we pray again? Sometimes you got to swing a big hammer at a hard rock, and the word is a hammer, able to break the hardest stone. And we just quoted that Bible verse, man. And we kept praying. We watched with our eyes. This 82-year-old lady's fingers that were bent and manipulated, she couldn't even pick up a spoon. We watched in front of our eyes her fingers go. And I watched her cry at 82 years of age and go like this, over and over and over. Now, either I'm a sicko making that up, looking for your temporal impressed moment, or I watched that. You'll have to decide. But time will tell. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, God is good. Anybody else feel anything changed right there that we prayed for? You did? Second time. First time, nothing. Okay. You were just holding back on.
My husband prayed for like chronic, I'm sorry, I just feel the joy of the Lord, chronic sinus junk. And it's just been numb and tingly in there, and that's what I was wanting to say a while ago, but I still had pain in the back and down the sciatic. I'm supposed to have a disintegrated disc like 20 years ago, but if I listened to them, I wouldn't even be walking. So they prayed for me again, and I couldn't bend my neck over because it's like it's pulling all the way down.
Okay, gotcha.
But feels, I can do my head,
Come on. Wait, we'll get the worship team up. You can go with it. Isn't that awesome? Come on, that's like you were like, when did you see your move like that last, my man? Come on, man. Your prayers are powerful, dude. Now listen, for those of you that still felt nothing change, I need you to hear me clear. Don't you leave here thinking anything less than faith. You've got one response ever as a Christian. Father, you love me. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you've accomplished through Jesus. And thank you for your will towards my life. God, thank you. I receive your grace. Body be healed. Thank you, God. You commune with God through it. You lay in bed at night. You just thank him, God, I thank you for making all things new. I so appreciate the way you see me and love me. And you go to bed in faith. You wake in faith. And you walk out your relationship and receive it in love. Amen? You follow me? What I've seen people do is they strive, they get to thinking, man, there's got to be something wrong, there's got to be something hindering, and as soon as you start doing that, you affect a healthy identity and you mark yourself less than you are through Christ. Holy Spirit is a big boy and he's loving enough that if there was something he wanted you to adjust and you were seeking like for healing, he would whisper that to you and bring that to your mind. You don't have to go searching closets and trying to figure out what's hindering the move of God. Holy Spirit's not keeping you in charades. I've watched many people throw away their identity, get in trouble seeking why I'm not being healed. And just that question could be maybe the reason why. Because it makes you insecure and unsettled and unestablished before the Lord. Is that good? Man, that's good. So, y'all good? Can we just do this quick thing we need to do now that it's 5:09? Do I still have the worship team here? They're still here? Awesome. Oh, you guys are up there making it happen too. You're awesome. Thanks, guys. Is there a way you can make your way down here? Come on, man. Let's tear it up. See, if I get them down here, I'll be quicker. You got something to say? Let's pray for... He's asking if we can pray for ears to hear, for deafness to leave and ears to hear. Amen? Yeah. Amen. You'll like this. I was in a church in Ohio, and I probably shouldn't have said where. It's nothing wrong with Ohio. Don't stereotype Ohio. But it was like an assembly or something of God. And I went into the church, and I'm preaching on healing, and I'm sharing testimonies. Is there something you want to say, ma'am? Oh, because of hearing? Well, you can sit down. We're just going to pray for you, but that's okay. No, we're going to pray. Oh, I appreciate your aggression. I like that. But you be at peace. That's awesome. You can sit down. We're going to pray for everybody that for ears. Yep. But you don't have to stand. Thank you so much. You guys are on it, man. They're like, get up, get up. You see how much love is in this house? Get up, they're going to pray. We don't want you to miss nothing. They thought if she was sitting, it would shoot out over her head and hit somebody else, maybe. I don't know. You got to get up and catch it. I'm having too much fun. So watch this. God is amazing how he teaches and instructs. Because I'm in this church and I'm preaching, and I'm preaching on healing. And I don't know how I got on the topic other than the Holy Spirit really led me there, because I usually don't focus on healing, but lately I've been on a mandate to become love and righteousness. But I was preaching on healing like big time. And I'm telling these testimonies and tying them into the scripture. And all of a sudden it hit me and I began to laugh. It was funny. You'd have had to been there. Because I'm a pretty free fella. Like, not too much shakes me up, okay? So I'm like, I'm looking at these people and they're just kind of looking at me kind of like you are right now. And I looked and I said, oh my goodness. You guys don't believe a word I'm saying. I said, I just realized I can feel it in the room. This room is just, it's just thick with unbelief. You guys think I'm, you don't believe nothing that I'm saying. I said, that's amazing. That reveals one thing. You came to church today, but you don't believe this book. I said, so I guess we need, and I don't talk like this. This sounded arrogant to them. I said, I guess we need to see what's real. So bring me somebody that's sick, somebody that's visual, somebody that has a physical impairment. And let's go for it, guys. That's exactly what I said. It was the Spirit of God. Who knows he's not intimidated by their unbelief? Who knows that he understands that they don't understand? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Guess who they brought me? Because they were sure this lady wouldn't be healed. Active addiction. You'll love it. Active addiction. Born deaf in her left ear. And she won't stop using, but she comes to church. And she keeps using, comes to church using. And they're sure she won't get healed because she's an addict. Unrepented, active addict. That's how they see her. They couldn't have picked a better person. Because I don't have the ability to see her like that. I can't see that. See somebody created for his image. Somebody that's hurt and confused and doesn't understand. They couldn't have brought me a better person. They drag her down. She's walking. She don't hardly know what's going on. You can tell she's like kind of dazed. She comes down and I said, what's up with her? And they said, she's been born deaf in her left ear. So you told us to bring somebody with a visual, somebody with something that you could. So you got to pray for her ear to hear, I guess. And this young kid comes running over with a cast from his knee down. Full hard rock cast. Not Velcro. Rock hard cast. And pretty sure it was like, yeah. He comes up and I said, so you want prayer too? Are you going to be able to check your foot? He said, oh no, I didn't come for my foot. I came to watch because you seem really serious. He said, I ain't never seen a miracle. I'm 18 years old, but I never seen nobody as serious as you. And it just feels like this is going to happen and I didn't want to miss it, so I came down to walk. I said, well, I'm glad you came down because you're going to get to pray for her. And it's going to open up under your hand. That's just how I talked in that church. You say, that's arrogant, Pastor. No, that's the Spirit of God coming upon a man. He's not so offended at their unbelief that he wants to pack up. See, we call those churches religious and dry and we mock them and we make fun of them behind the scenes. And Jesus wants to show himself strong. Mocking them won't change them. Walking in love and demonstrating Jesus by the power of his Spirit will. Because you ain't going to believe what happened in this church, Papa. That young boy looked at me like, I'm going to pray for her. He said, sir, I've never seen a healing. Doesn't matter. Are you saved? Yeah. So Jesus is inside of you? Yeah. Well, then that's all that matters. He's Lord. I said, you reach over and you touch your hand, the kingdom, you son. And you say, ear open. This girl has never heard out of her left ear. She's born deaf. 18 years old, trembling. Ear open. Scream. It popped. She could hear the sound of sound in her left ear. Active addiction. Lady came up and could hardly walk. Arthritis crippled her legs. I said, pray for her. Prayed. She's crying. I said, run up and down the stairs for me, please. Just start running. She's running up and down the stairs, doing little stair stepper exercise. I had her running, man. She was like, wah! Pandemonium. I looked up and I said, are you people ready to believe yet? That's what I said. And they're bawling and crying because the Spirit of God was like a cloud over top of them. And I said, I need every sick person up front here to get up here quick. Serious, I'm not joking. It was radical. Pastor's wife came. She had a deterioration in her feet. I'd never seen anything like it. All the tissues and fibers of her feet were disintegrated and bones were protruding through the bottoms of her feet. And she had a cushion built into her shoe about that high, a puppy cushion, where she wouldn't have been able to walk. Two ladies, 15 minutes ago, they're sitting in the sin of unbelief. And God didn't forsake them and leave their assembly to go to another one. He demonstrated His love, His mercy, and His power. And 15 minutes later, He let them get in and enter into the release of the kingdom and pray and watch healings, probably 100, through their hands. 15 minutes before, they're sitting there in the sin of unbelief, believing that I'm a lying preacher, probably there for an honorarium. That's a joke. These two ladies started screaming hysterically. You know why? They put their fingers on the bottom of Pastor's wife's feet and the tissue grew under their fingers. You can't make this stuff up or you're a sicko. I'm not a sicko. Jesus lives inside of me and He means business. And I've seen too much. I just haven't seen enough yet. I'm going to see more because I won't back down. I won't let the fact that my mother died of sickness 2 years ago change the gospel. See, maybe you need to know that stuff. Maybe everything isn't a joyride. Maybe sometimes things that are close to you get hurt and things happen and shouldn't and don't have to. And it just throws people's minds bonkers and they get analytical and they back off of God. No, if Jesus touched my mother, everybody in this room across the board would answer in unison, she'd have been healed. Well, He happens to live in me, friend, and I represent Him. And while I lay hands on the sick, it's the same. And I'm going to grow into it until it's the same. And until I see it the same, I won't change my mind. You can change your mind all you want, but you'll have to answer for that. I'm going after Him. I'm not following our experiences, guys. I'm following Him. And if I don't see His resume in my life, then I'm going to stay before Him till I do. But if I keep changing my mind every time something doesn't happen, I'll never get established in truth, and I'll never walk like He walked. You hearing me? My own mother passed away of a disease I've seen healed a handful of times. Maybe you ought to know that about a fellow like me. Then you won't think I'm just popping off and being arrogant and putting on a show. Maybe you understand I honor the gospel way more than anything. I got to stand and do her memorial and her graveside ceremony, my own mother. What an honor. What a woman. Never heard her complain. She had more tubes coming out of her body. I changed her diapers when I was a young man. I carried her to bed at night upstairs. For 40 years, I watched her crippled and paralyzed by sickness. Yeah? Feel that shocking feel in the room, how quiet it is? That shouldn't change a thing about Jesus. There's something this family already knew. We already won. We already won. It ain't, well, God loves, how come? And why didn't He? And He's healed another mother's. Why didn't He heal you? Stop boasting in your lack of understanding. Be slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. Something about integrity and honor that I'm talking about. There's things you don't understand, and that's when it's time to be quiet, not speak. There's things sometimes you can't explain. It's time to be quiet, not speak. Because there is some things we know. God is good or He'd have never sent His Son. And Mom already won a long time ago. And my mother knew that. She believed in healing. She'd always quote, "By His stripes I'm healed." Let me tell you something about the integrity of my mother. I never heard her complain about her sickness. Ever. I'd walk in her room and she'd smile and be sweet. Glad to see me. I'd say, "How are you, Mama?" She'd say, "Well, I'm fine." You know why? Because she was. She knew something. He changed her. He saved her. She was going to live forever. Is that compromised healing? No. She wanted healed. She believed in healing. She believed in eternal life much more and believed she was already right with Him. That's powerful. So she didn't know what to complain about. Because He saved her. And He gave her life through Jesus Christ. Do you know at her graveside there was three separate nursing staffs and three different doctors. Folks, nurses and doctors don't leave their schedules to go to the gravesides of patients. They're way too busy, and there's way too many patients. You know why they were there, Pastor Mark? Because they thought she was one in a million patients, one in a lifetime. Because you could not love. You could not not love my mother. You could not not love my mother. People loved her. She'd apologize for not having her arm the right way. She'd work with... These people are getting yelled at because people are miserable and frustrated and hurting. My mother's being fed and going to the bathroom through tubes. And she doesn't know how to complain. The gospel says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. So you're seen as innocent, harmless children in the midst of a twisted and perverse generation. So you can shine as a light and hold forth the word of life. Guys, we complain when the cell phone battery's running dead. We complain when the car ain't running right. We complain when the boss ain't treating us right. And we prove a lot to the devil and to our own hearts. And we don't totally understand. Paul said, don't you complain like they complained in the wilderness because they were destroyed and devoured by the devourer. Don't you do the same. When you complain, you reveal it's about you. When you don't complain, you reveal you have a revelation. You guys following me? So I stood and blew a trumpet at my mom's graveside of the honor and integrity of her life and the power of the gospel that made a woman lovable in the face of infirmity. Not because of sympathy, because of respect. She didn't have that thing, well, God did this to me, and this is the working of grace, and this was my lot in life. She didn't believe that. She just believed he loved her, and she was going to live forever. And she told me, you know, Dan, one day I'll be completely well, even if I don't see it in this day. I want to see it in this day, but one day I will dance in heaven. She had a way bigger picture than MS, guys, and it kept her all the way through. I hope you're hearing what I'm telling you. You see my aggression? You see my passion? It's not because everything went the way I was hoping. I had to bury some children who died of cancer. I had to bury my mom. But I haven't changed the gospel. So when I opened that book, it says the same thing it said before she died. And I'm not going to let her death change what he wrote. I'm going to let what he wrote change these deaths. Are you hearing me? So why don't you run with me in integrity? And why don't you love not your own life unto death and stop taking life personal? Make sure you take him personal. Are you guys in with me? Is it all right if I talk to you this strong? Are you guys all right? You ain't getting offended, right? Come on, man. We all have things that don't go our way. But when we let that decide who we are, we prove that we ain't totally surrendered and sold out and we really don't get it. And then you make yourself a sitting target for the devil. You're easy pick. Because he roams around like a roaring lion looking whom he can devour. And once he finds that kind of vulnerability, you're a pincushion, man. And then you'll get mad and say, why is God letting all this stuff happen to me? He's not. You're sitting duck. You're in position for it. You've been found in weakness and it's taken advantage of. No, let the weak say I'm strong. And let's get these vulnerabilities out of our life. Let's make the devil have to get real creative if he's going to touch any one of us. Because we just ain't that vulnerable anymore. We sold out and surrendered. Amen? Come on, man. God didn't give me a mother so that I covet her and love her above him. My mother was a gift, not at the cost of God, in light of God. So don't you have issues with God because you lost a family member. You're just revealing your heart doesn't understand it, and you're using God and needing God, not loving God. And I'm telling you, the devil will come and eat your lunch for it. Don't you give him that privilege. If there's anything in your life that determines your joy more than knowing him and loving him, that'll be a target, I promise. If Satan ever realizes that idolatry in your life, that's where he'll focus. You guys okay? Now, I brought them up here and I'm not doing so well. That thing we did earlier with Pastor Mark, and he cried out his heart and why he loves God and how God came and was. He said something powerful. It struck me. That's why I called these guys up here. I want to do something before we leave. And I want you to participate if it applies to you in any way. It doesn't mean you have to come up front, but I'm going to invite you up here. I don't do a lot of altar calls, and it doesn't mean you're backslid by far. It doesn't mean that at all. That's not what we're doing. Pastor Mark said something astounding, and it's in my testimony. And when he said it, I said, that's it. I got so excited. I was like, that's right. That's it. I was like, ah! He said, I gave it all that day. I gave it all. And I watch countless people that mean well, but they don't give it all. They hold on to sometimes it's not even evil. It's just a lack of understanding. It's not sin. It's not willful. It's not hypocritical. We just don't understand. Sometimes we think it's normal to be jealous. Sometimes we think it's normal to stereotype and judge people by their appearance instead of righteous judgment. We've been trained so long in a lie that sometimes it's just easy to think in that lie. But there's something about giving it all. There's something about you saying, wait a minute. The way I grew up was not the way I was created. The way I was trained is not the wisdom of God. And God, you're retraining me. And I'm willing to surrender everything that ever was so that everything that is called to be becomes my reality. Are you hearing me? There's a place to lay it all down and give it all. And in Colossians chapter 3, I'll do this as quick as possible. Are you guys okay? Colossians chapter 3 says, since we've all been raised with Christ, let's seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God and set our mind on those things. Not the things of the earth. Why? Because you died. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. You died to everything you ever were so that everything He is can come alive inside of you. Are you following me? Don't pacify this gospel. We did not pray a prayer to go to heaven someday. We gave back what was never ours, our lives, so that we could be found in His image, empowered by His Spirit, and fulfill the reason He made man. Why? So the earth could be filled with His glory. You guys getting this? Why do you set your mind on things above? Because you died. Come on, get real with me. If you died, then you're going to challenge offense. If you died, then you're going to challenge anger and bitterness. If you died, then you're going to challenge judgment and jealousy. Look, you weren't made that way by God. We became that way through the fall. Every man was born into that lie. Every man was born into Adam. In iniquity, we were formed in our mother's womb. We were born into that lie, and you must be born again. We tragically turn that into a prayer to go to heaven when it's an answer of a brand new transformed life where you put off the old and put on the new. You following me? So there's something a Christian has to do that has to understand that it's imperative. It's not a street corner prayer. It's a surrender of your life. There's something you got to understand. I wasn't made this way. You didn't make me the way I've lived. You didn't make me the way I've thought. You didn't even make my emotional patterns this way. Everything's dysfunctional. Everything's perverted. Everything's twisted, God. And I give it all to you. I don't want to assume any right to be anything I've ever been apart from you. And up until this day, I want to become everything you created me to be. And I can't work for it. I can't earn it. And I can't strive. But I can submit and I can surrender. And I can be sincere and the pure in heart. Shall see God. And I'm telling you, there's a grace. He spoke it out tonight. He said, there's a grace here. And he was talking, and I was so fired up. Watch this. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, because this is true, watch this. Put to death your members which are on the earth. That's that flesh-driven thing, that carnal side of life. Isn't it amazing? The first thing on the list is fornication. Your sexual desire, need, appetite. That need to be aroused. That need to be fulfilled. That need to turn somebody on to feel special, important, beautiful, or macho, whatever. It's twisted, man. It's self-centered. It's self-serving. Our sex drives as we know them aren't even the way we were created. God is telling you to put it to death. He didn't say manage it. He said, let it die. Does that mean intimacy's wrong? Does that mean it's wrong to be together? No, there's a place for covenant. There's a place for love and selflessness. It's not about you getting a feeling and feeling secure. It's about love, guys. The first thing on the list that he says put to death is fornication. That's any sexual activity outside of a marriage covenant. Why would he say that? Because we were born into that need and love is fulfilled. Every man was born into a need. Every woman was born into a need because man got cut off from love. But man was created to be love. So Jesus came and became what we were and got cut off so we could get grafted back in and be restored to what was from the beginning. That's the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. And in many cases we've said, I love you. And all we're saying is, I need you. We're saying, I love you. Do you love me? All you're saying is, I love you for me. I love you for what you do for me. I love you for how you make me feel. But let that change and we'll see that we don't understand love. Because now we got issues. Well, you used to this. Well, you used to that. Well, you changed. Well, I don't think I love you anymore. We never knew love. Put to death. He didn't say try to control it. He didn't say steward it. He said kill it. How do I put to death my members on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness? How do I put it to death without getting trapped into works, trying harder and fearing failing? That's a good question, Pastor. I sure hope you have the answer. I do. How do we put to death these things without getting trapped into works? You get alone in prayer. You get alone in His presence. You believe you have a right to be there, and you start confessing and separating yourself from those things and realize you were never made for them. They are not your lot in life. They're not cool. They are a lie. And you start telling God, you see that, and you start telling God you're willing to live everything He created you to be. And you're willing to let go of your rights and let go of jealousies and let go of comparisons and let go of judgments. Father, I'm giving up everything I was so that I can be everything I've created to be. And I'm laying down the lie, God. I don't want any rights except the right to be like You. And I surrender. And I die to the things that are flesh and merely flesh. Come on, man. You should have heard me walking in my bedroom when I got saved. I was so fired up, I'm running around the bedroom. It's amazing I didn't put a trail in the carpet. I'd stay in there for hours. If pastors would have heard me pray and leaders at the time, Mark, I think they'd have tried to calm me down and say, now, brother, you're going to have your moments. I'm not expecting to have my moments. The reason men have their moments is because they have a runway and a platform for them. They're expecting to have a fallout. Well, nobody's perfect. Stop talking like that. He told you to be complete like your Father's complete. Be holy because He's holy. He wants you to understand that He wants to come in you and empower you to be like Him without your flesh involved. Not your works, not self-righteousness. I'm not talking anything weird here. I'm saying two becoming one. I'm saying all that He is in me flowing through me. Me yielded and surrendered. And God allowing me to live a supernatural life. It's called Christianity. If you live by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So why do we always make excuses for the flesh? Let's just live by the Spirit and call it dead. Why are we expecting to fail? Yeah. When you expect to fail, there's no repentance in failure because you have yourself identified as a failure. Come on. When you expect to sin, there's no repentance in sin because you expect it. And then the tree is never made good, so the fruit will never change. And then we'll serve Him from a distance instead of know Him intimately. You don't want that, girls. We covered that yesterday. You are not concubines. I'm looking at the clean. Yeah. Okay, I know I'm passionate. I can't help it. Look at verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off. You yourselves. It's not a prayer line. It's not an altar call. You yourselves are to put off these things. He didn't say manage them. You yourselves are to put off these things. Anger. You know why you get angry? Because you're thinking for yourself. You need to be right. Your power play in others. Things don't suit you. Things ain't going your way. It's not about your way. It's about Yahweh. Come on. Let's just face anger and call it what it is. It's a self-centered expression at some level for some reason. I'm not talking about being passionate. Can you see the passion in me right now? I'm not angry. I'm crying out. Anger is when you see somebody for less than their value, you judge them for less than their destiny, and you allow these degenerate, unprofitable feelings to rule your life towards them. It has manipulation behind it, control behind it. Come on. We have treated one another in anger because we've lived for ourselves, man. And I'm telling you this, I believe this. You can call me crazy if you want. I'm probably just out of some of your minds. Not my own. I believe we can live in peace in church. And I believe we can never be angry again at one another. And even if we have our moments, we can find quick resolve because of humility and love and surrender. I do not believe we have to be continually plagued with issues inside the house of God. It grieves me, Pastor Sandra. It is not the kingdom of God that we have always have these issues and backbitings and stuff. And he's treating him with more favor than him. And she's getting, and I don't, and I've been here a long time. And I stop it! You're just proving you don't understand the gospel and you're not fully in. And then we wonder why it doesn't come like it could come when we're all worshiping and stuff. I'm telling you, we get this thing down, Mark, and we start surrendering and be humble and really just mean it. Just mean it. Just get pure. He will ravage us with his presence. You got to prepare a place for him, man. You got to leave the sacrifice on the altar all night long and keep the fire burning. Abraham stayed up all night. The vultures come and try to take that sacrifice. Beat them vultures away. Leave that thing on the altar till the fire comes and consumes it. You yourselves, do you hear this? You're to put off anger and malice. I would run in my bedroom so excited. I was like a little kid skipping. I still feel that way. I'd say, oh my God, I'm safe forever. Lord, you're my Lord. You're my God. You're so real. You've saved me. You've changed me. God, my life's never going to be. This was my prayer life out of the gate when I got saved. Out of the gate, all the time. You saved me. I'll never be the same. Never again will stress and strife and anger and frustration rule and dominate my life. In fact, those things have no place or part in me. I see now you never made me that way. I became that way when Adam ate that tree. Oh man, but I've eaten a different tree. Tree of life. And life is inside of me. Oh, the tree's still there. The knowledge of good and evil. The snake's still whispering. But I'm following you. I'm obeying you. I'm coming after you, God. You own me. You've consumed me. And you love me. You've made me a slave and a prisoner to righteousness. I have one decree before your presence, right in the sight of God. Nobody can stop me now. You love me and I love you, and my life is forever changed. The day of attitudes and issues and competent opinions have died where I'm concerned. You've made me a brand new man. It's amazing. It's amazing. I take my kids to the pool. They were 10 and 5. And within weeks, I'm surrounded at my towel by people at the pool wanting to know what happened to me and what's going on with you. And you're a daddy like I've never seen. And you look so full of life. And I'd say, I'm glad you asked. And they kept coming back. And the crowd grew bigger. I had a crowd around me. I was 4 weeks old in the Lord. That's what we think. No, I wasn't no baby sucking on a binky. I was a man of God filled with the Spirit that was surrendered and growing in wisdom and understanding. And I had something to give. I was 3 months saved and God put a disc in a man's back that wasn't there and canceled the fusion. I was 4 months old in the Lord and an orange-sized tumor or a hernia went under my hand, went away, and God sealed and healed the seam and the man never had a surgery. I got a word of knowledge 4 months old in the Lord. Put my hand on an orange-sized hernia and it went closed under my hand. Whoa, that's trouble now for a guy like me. Woo! Nobody in my bedroom telling me I couldn't. Nobody in my bedroom saying, well, now you know God does not. Nobody in my bedroom but him. Nothing in my heart but truth, Mark. It's on now. It's too late. Ain't no going back. I haven't seen enough, but I've seen too much to change my mind. We want him like this, girls. Why would we ever want to go back? Who can tell me you were ever blessed when you were frustrated? Who can tell me you were ever blessed when you were sitting in unforgiveness? Who can tell me that your soul ever prospered when you were looking at somebody for less than truth? Which one of you can honestly look me in the eyes and tell me that you were doing okay when you weren't okay? We don't want him to just bless us. We don't want him to just come and love on us. We want him to put the integrity of who he is inside of us and change us forever. Not because we're striving, just because we're serious. And all it'll take is being serious. Tonight, all it'll take, I'm telling you, it's not works. It's you putting it off and putting it to death. You're putting off anger, wrath, malice. Tonight, you're going to give up your right if you're willing, and you're going to say, God, I'm giving up my right to backtalk and to backbite my brothers. I'm giving up the right to see a weakness in them and mock them for it, talk behind their back. I'm giving it up. If I'm going to be in this program, I'm going to be exemplary and I'm going to manifest you, Jesus, and I'm going to be an example to my brothers. I am not going to feed a lie. I'm going to overcome evil with good. I will never repay evil for evil. I will let love cover a multitude of sin, and I will let mercy triumph over judgment. And no matter how weak a man lives or how willful a man lives, I will not let it affect me. It'll bring love up and out of me. God, I surrender it all to you. I ain't playing games. You weren't playing games. And I'm not going to let a man decide who I am except one man. And your name is Jesus. Come on, guys. Do you realize what we've got here? Do you realize what we can step into? But watch this. You yourselves have to be willing to put it off. Nobody can make you love Jesus. About all we can do is force some discipline through a program if your hearts aren't with us, right? About all you can do is regulate some actions, but you can't make the heart love him. And I promise you, they don't have a program to have that kind of authority and control over you. They have a program so that the goodness and love of Jesus comes into you, you see it, and it overtakes you and makes you like him. I'm telling you, we can be a family. We can be a family. We can live this thing. Don't tell me it's impossible. If there's a pastor in here and you're disagreeing with me, I'm boldly telling you, you ought to start reading your Bible and asking Jesus about these things. Because we're called to love. We're called to love. And love, love takes no account. No account of the wrong done to it. You know how many pastors are hurt because of the people? You know how many pastors don't even want to pastor because of the people? I'll tell you what. Jesus was breaking bread and passing a cup on the night he was betrayed. It says, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and the cup. Why does the Bible say it's on the night he was betrayed? Because it wants you to learn from that. Because on the night you're betrayed, you feel betrayed if you're not careful and you call a friend and tell him about it. On the night he was betrayed, he gave his life and passed the cup and the bread to the men that were scattered. Those disciples didn't do one thing right. They were confused. They didn't understand. And we'd have ran too. I'm not blaming them. But be real with me. They all said they'd die for him. And everyone ran for his life. When Jesus raised from the dead, he said to Mary, go tell those weak-willed, backstabbing, no-good-for-nothing disciples I have a score to settle. No, he didn't. When he raised from the dead, he looked at Mary and said, go tell my brother. That's a covenant term. That's family. You know what he was saying to a group of men that did nothing right? You know why they were assembled in the upper room, in that room? They were there for fear of the Jews. They weren't there in faith. And yet Jesus said, go tell my brethren. What was he saying, Pastor? He was telling Mary, you go tell them I haven't changed my mind about them. They're my boys. He walked into a room and they were cowering in fear. And he showed them his hands and his side and said, come on, guys. All these things had to happen. What are you doing? Why are you cowering? Listen, get up from where you're sitting and go out and change the world. He sent them right out. He didn't say, you know, you're going to need some more time. He said, go tell the world. That's what he's saying to every one of us. You're going to tell them through your life. Listen, in this program, you're going to learn a lot of doctrine, a lot of scripture, and a lot of word. I know you do a lot of assignments. Don't you let the word puff you up. Let love edify. Let these men not hear your speech, but see your life and be encouraged by it. The greatest honor you have is that people can see your life and respect who you're growing into being. Come on, be honest. In the lifestyles we've lived, we've hurt people. We've lived at the expense of people. We've made demands of people. And now you have the great honor of encouraging, sowing into, and letting men respect who Jesus is in you. Proverbs says a good name is to be treasured more than any fine gold or silver. You want a good name, and you want that name to be because of His name. Come on, we can live this way, church. We're going to close out here. Put away these things. Put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Don't lie to one another. Why? Because you put off the old man and his deeds. And you put on the new man. Look who he is. You put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Guess what we do when we get saved? We put off everything we ever were and we acknowledge it. And if it seems to be a stronghold in your life or a weakness, people say, you know, don't pray for patience. God will give it to you. And it's a joke in the church. And I'm thinking, what a tragedy. We're praying for patience. It's just an indictment against us that we haven't become love, because love is patient. Hello? So guess how you put on patience and put off impatience? Father, I thank you. No man owes me anything. I thank you, man. Man can't get under my skin. You've given me new skin, God. You've caused my eyes to see different. No one owes me anything, Lord. My expectation isn't on men. It's on you, Lord. No one's set up to fail me, and you never will. Man, I'm in the most solid place of my life. You've made me secure. And God, I thank you that patience is mine. I thank you that love is mine. I thank you when I see my brothers and sisters, I see their value, I see their destiny. I don't focus on their weakness. And God, if I do see weakness, I thank you that I see right past it and begin to speak into their strength, their potential, and their destiny. God, I thank you that my days of hurt and anger and frustration and judgment are over. I'm calling them dead. And even if I find myself in that weakness for a moment, I'll see it clear because you're in me and you love me. Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me these things always and running me closer to you. God, you're amazing. You are the change of my life. That's how we pray, guys. That's Christian prayer. That's communion with the Lord. That's how you put off and put on. Look who the new man is. According to the image of him who created him. Therefore, because these things are true, the elect of God and holy and beloved, put on. Put on. That's what we're going to do tonight. You're going to put on tender mercy. God, you're making me a lover. The way you were merciful to me. Did you hear this man cry out his testimony? Man, it brought tears. My tears were just pouring down my face. You know what he was boasting on? The mercy of the Lord. That when you deserve no mercy, mercy comes. You can't help yourself. You're crying out. You've made so many mistakes. It's just as easy to just want to quit and want to die. And yet God sees past all the failure and sees a deep down heart cry that says, man, if I could change, that would be good. And God says, then let change come. And all of a sudden, mercy reaches down and triumphs over judgment. And love covers a multitude of sin. It's powerful.
Hallelujah.
It's what you want. And that's how He wants you to see every man. You following? Put on tender mercies. God, you were so merciful to me. You were so kind to me. God, I don't want to just receive your kindness. I want to become your kindness. And I'm declaring and telling you right now openly that I thank you. I yield my heart to you, that you're making my heart like yours. And I thank you. You're causing me to see through the eyes that you behold through. And when I see men, I'll see what you've always seen. God, you've changed me forever. Nothing can stay the same now. You have made me a merciful man because you've shown me the beauty of your mercy. God, unforgiveness is not an option. You've forgiven me of everything I've ever done, and I've received your total forgiveness. How could I forgive men for their sins? God, let the love of God be so powerful through my life that men would know you because you've revealed yourself to me. God, I thank you for the joy of this life through Jesus Christ. That's prayer, guys. That's communion with the Lord. So put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Watch. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do. And above all these things, church, put on love, because it is the bond of perfection. I'm going to give you a little time and a little opportunity. And this is going to be the end of the service, but I want you to take time. You can stay in your seat. You can come up here. You can find a place to lay. You can just sit right where you're at. It doesn't mean you're unspiritual if you don't need it. But please, yield yourself to Him tonight and know in your heart, without works, without striving, you've made total surrender. That you've done what this man said in his testimony and what I told you this morning in mine. On that day I got saved, I know I died. And I held nothing back. I didn't hold the right to get mad at you, demean you, or judge you. I gave it up. And God held me to that and put something different in me. He put new eyeballs in me. He put a new way of living. And He'll do it to you. Amen? So we're going to do this right now. I know I've had you up here a long time. You guys got a song prepared, I'm sure, because you're hearing where we're at. As they're playing, I want you guys to make contact with God. And if you feel like, look, if you've never been saved or born again, just get up here and kneel and get born again, man. And then tell one of these leaders so they can baptize you. If you want me to do it, I'll hold you till the bubbles stop. And I'll make sure you're dead so you can live. I'm a good pastor, man. I'll let you die. But you come and make peace with God if you need to. If you know you got anger trying to rob you and gets in your life and you feel like, boy, I got impatience and I'm thin-skinned. Stop selling yourself cheap and disbelieving your thin skin. Come and tell God that that's not how He created you to be. Tonight, tell God, get real with yourself and say, Lord, listen, I'm going to get real vulnerable. The first morning after I got saved, I woke up in bed and the first thing that came to my mind was my twisted definition of manhood and that lust thing that most men deal with. And I bawled with nobody in the bedroom. I cried and cried, and watch what I said. I said this out loud in my bedroom. I said, God, You couldn't have made me this way. It's selfish to the core, and it's at the expense of another. Watch, don't get offended. I said, there's no way Adam was walking in the garden with an erection saying, what am I supposed to do with this thing? You didn't make woman to meet my need. Set me free, God. The world taught me. I gotta know the truth. And I cried and I cried, and the Spirit of God washed over me and changed me on the inside. You want that kind of ministry of the Holy Spirit. But see, if you're not willing to face that stuff, if you covet the lie, if you try to hold on to it because you think you're benefiting from it, you'll be deceived. But if you ever face it, call it what it is, God will give you grace to walk free. Are you following me? Come on. If you've got issues tonight, if you have struggles in relationships, if people bother you, get real and talk to God about it and say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm done with first impressions. I'm done with walking in a room and trying to figure people out. I'm done stereotyping and judging. I'm done gravitating to some and avoiding others. God, You love all men. Come on. Don't stay in weakness tonight. If there's one area in your life convicting you, find a place wherever you are. It doesn't mean you have to come up here, but please make peace with God and put it off in prayer and put on the truth. Guys, you can lead us and let it flow as much as you want. You'll know when you're done. You'll know when they're done. And you guys will know when you're done. But please find a place with Him if it applies. Amen? Amen.